Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
On the phone with Dan DeMonte right now. Dan and I go way back, even though he never knew me, like 20 years ago. Dan was on a show called God or the Girl. When I was in the seminary, I was sitting in our room, like our public room, watching this show. And afterwards, I said, I got to get to know the guy. So here we are, 20 years later in a friendship. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening in. Like, subscribe, comment. Dan DeMonte, share the call with everyone you know. God bless.
Press 1 to sponsor a call. Thank you for your support. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hey, John, it's Scott from 4 Marks Printing. I am so pumped to be a sponsor of your show. It's such a fun concept, and we're honored to be a part of it. We help Catholic schools, parishes, and apostolates get high-quality custom apparel without the typical headaches. Whether you or someone at your parish is juggling youth group fundraisers or trying to ditch the cookie dough sale at your school, we've got your back. Our ordering process is fast, our design team is amazing, and our customer service as well. Actually human. Let's make gear that people actually want to wear. Check us out at 4marksprinting.com. That's the number 4marksprinting.com.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
Dan DeMonte.
Hey, how are you doing, John?
Or should I say Daniel?
Hey, whatever you want. Why do you ask?
What do you go by?
I go by Dan and Daniel. Yeah. Recently, I'm going back to Daniel.
Really?
Yeah, because...
I've always known you by Dan, but I'm kind of intrigued now.
Yeah, the IEL means of the Lord, or the Lord is. And so my name means, Daniel means the Lord is my judge. And so when I went by just Dan, I cut the Lord out of my name. So I figured, I should put him back in my name.
Why would you do such a thing?
I didn't know. It was ignorance. I was an eighth grader when I cut that part of my name out.
So I've been so excited to talk to you on this, because you were like, I mean, you're a staple in my life. When I was in the seminary, I was watching you on God or the Girl.
Yeah, that is wild.
Is that 20 years ago?
It was in 2006, so yeah, it's been 20 years.
And how do you even get on that show?
You know, it was an interesting process. It was produced by 3 Jewish guys and an atheist, and it was right after the sex scandals, right? The clergy sexual abuse scandals. So they were like, why in the heck would any young person want to become a priest in the midst of the clergy sexual abuse scandal? And so they went to the bishops, the USCCB, and they're like, hey, can we do a reality show on seminarians and figure out why they want to be priests? And the bishops are like, Hollywood is not touching our seminarians. And so they were like, hey, instead of doing a show with seminarians, why don't you guys find college students who are discerning the priesthood and thinking about entering the seminary? So my campus minister nominated me.
So did you ever actually go into the seminary then?
No, I never entered the seminary. I was my wife, she asked for papers to enter the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist.
Really?
I asked her to enter the seminary, and we were both told, well, my wife was told by the vocations director for the Dominicans, you're not supposed to be a sister, you're supposed to marry Dan.
Really?
I was told by our vocations director that I do more good outside of seminary, so I should wait until I'm 100% sure that that I'm ready to go.
That's pretty.
But yeah,
wild,
never really felt called. Ultimately, I like the lay state. I think it's more nimble. I really felt just the freedom to go where the wind blows or where the Holy Spirit blows, and not be not necessarily be under a diocesan obedience.
So give me an update on Damascus.
Yeah, Damascus is thriving. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
25 years?
Yeah, so for 25 years, we have been, bringing young people into an encounter with Jesus through summer camp. And,
nice.
Yeah, so in 2001, we started with 63 campers. And this year, we had probably 6,500, 6,800 campers this summer. So it's been a great journey to grow so much. Over the 25 years, we've served 41,000 kids at Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
And remind me, did you actually start it?
Yes. Well, my youth minister started it, and I was myself and my ministry partner who helped co-found Damascus. He and I were kind of in the high school youth group, starting it with for our middle schoolers. And then after we graduated high school, we became the youth ministers and we kept the camp going.
So difference between the camp now and 2001?
You know, very, like, truly very little. It's still extremely Eucharistic. It always has been from day one. Today, the big difference is that we have nicer buildings and we have air conditioning in our cabins, which is really important to kids.
Yeah, no question about that. And you're serving, you said 6,800 in the summer?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
What's a typical experience like?
They wake up, they go, they experience, we say high adventure activities that lead to high adventure faith. So the high adventure activities all day, they're doing jet skis, paintball, zip lines, rock climbing walls. They're just having a blast. And then during the day, they also experience like what we call high adventure faith. So they have a morning prayer lab where we teach them how to have a daily prayer life through the sacred scriptures. And so we're focused on Lectio Divina and introducing young people to hearing God in prayer and then fostering that daily prayer connection through the Gospels. And then they also have time for daily mass where we, it's so funny because we often say that we celebrate the Eucharist, right? We celebrate mass. But most of the time when you go to mass, it's not a celebration. it seems like every mass on Sunday is a funeral mass, right?
Right.
And so we introduce them just to the beauty of the celebration of the mass and how to enter into the mass more effectively. And then every evening our campers have a time of faith formation and the proclamation of the gospel, the kerygma, worship, adoration. That's where really the magic is, where they encounter God in powerful ways. And then they have small group time where they share their faith with others. And then they pray the rosary before going to bed.
Is the food good?
You know, it's always, we get such high remarks on everything on the camper evaluations. The food is always one of the lowest marks, but it's as in terms of camp food, it is about as high quality camp food as you can get.
I mean, you can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, in Ohio, we're feeding 750 people three times a day.
Yeah.
And we do good food.
So it's always like on people's mind. You hear it all the time, right? Especially here in the West. How do we get young people back to the faith? They're leaving in droves, right? All the studies, statistics show it. What's your answer to that right now? I mean, you're around this 25 years.
Yeah. You know, I've been wrestling a lot this year trying to answer what is the secret sauce or what is the difference, because most youth ministry programs are on massive decline and they can't get kids there. And our youth ministry programs are on massive growth and we can't grow fast enough. You know, we had 1,500 kids on our wait list this summer. And so we can't grow quick enough to serve all the kids that want to come to camp. And it sounds weird because if you ever come to Damascus, you'll realize it is the loudest, craziest, wildest place on earth. And yet I think the real secret sauce is that we help plant the interior life in young people. We teach them, we're very good at helping young people hear the voice of God in prayer and recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit active in their lives. And because of that, that's something they take with them away from camp. So it's not about the camp experience. It's about the transformation they experience when they come into contact with the living God and they know he's real. And it's what we hear all the time. People are like, well, I came to Damascus and I just discovered that God was real. Yeah. And it's sad that it takes people years, like so many of our kids that go to Catholic schools and they go to mass every Sunday and they know of God, but they haven't actually, he hasn't become real. And I think sometimes because so much of our formation in the world is that God is somehow far off and distant. Our formation doesn't say that he's far off and distant, but it feels like God is far off and distant. And so that's why I say cultivating the interior life is what's so powerful, is because when you realize God's not far off and distant, he dwells within. And that's like what the secret of the mystics is, that the indwelling of God is found in the depths of our heart. And when you help kids stop looking outside of themselves for God, and they start discovering God who lives within, powerful things happen.
I remember I went through IPF, Institute of Priestly Formation, and it was a summer when I was in the seminary, and I was, I did a 9-day silent retreat, and it's kind of like off of their 30-day, so it's a shorter version, thank God. And
it was you did the weak sauce version, right?
Yeah, very much so. And it was like by far the most difficult time of my life, right? I mean, like just to be quiet for that long, it was nearly impossible. Anyone that knows me knows, doesn't even understand how I made it through. But I will say this. It was the first time in my life that people gave me the permission to be silent. And it was a game changer for me, because we would have to do like 5 hours of adoration a day back then. I don't know what they do now. It's like 4 or 5 hours, spiritual direction and all that. But it was just so quiet. And so I'm hearing that actually from youth ministers, from others that are working with young people is, yeah, I mean, wild, crazy, have fun, you know, big conferences, all that sort of thing. But yet just giving them the permission to be quiet amongst all the noise and to encounter God there is something that so many are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Hands down. I mean, when parents ask the kids, what was your favorite part of camp, over and over again, it's silent adoration.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's just that quiet, and it's not, I always scratch my head too, because I'll go to these Catholic schools or I'll go to different events, and I watch people put kids in front of the Blessed Sacrament as if, okay, putting kids in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the silence is what's going to help them encounter God. And in a very real way, they are encountering God, but their life's not being transformed, because the work to introduce young people to how to have a relationship with that God who is before them in the Blessed Sacrament hasn't been done. And so it really is. It's like the sowing of the seed of the word of God, right? In the parable of the sower of the seeds. You've got to till the soil of the heart. And I think the ministry that we do at Damascus is the tilling of the soil. And then when we put young people in front of the Lord, the soil is so fertile that the word of God is received, and that then it's able to grow and transform the interior heart of the person.
You still speaking?
Yeah. More than ever, actually.
Really? Where are you going? Yeah. What are you doing?
I do the West Coast a lot. I'm in California a lot for different events. I work with Encounter Ministries a lot and do ministry events with Encounter throughout different Encounter schools. And so, yeah, it's been good.
Do you know Bishop Scott Bullock?
I do not.
No. Okay. He was a celebrant at one of the masses at the big Encounter conference. And he goes with me on my pilgrimages every year. So he's all in to Encounter. I've heard incredible things.
Yeah. It's a great ministry. It's really focused on helping make the supernatural natural again in the church.
Yeah.
I think we've replaced expectation with limitation so often. And we, like, you know, the goal is really to help people grow in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to realize that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for everyone. So they're not these weird, like, only it's always funny when we look to the lives of the saints and we're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not a saint, so I can't heal or I can't prophesy and it's like, wait, it's the saints were humans at
right.
one point. And so, like, it's, we're part of the communion of saints as we're alive, and God wants to, work through us right now to give evidence that he is real.
It's fun catching up with you, man. It always has been.
Yeah, you too.
You're a good man. You still running on EOS?
We are driving it and it's going well.
That's just music to my ears. The entrepreneurial operating system, anyone wondering what it is, it's incredible. Dan DeMonte, what's your website, man?
Damascus.net. That's where you can find out about Damascus and you can find out about my speaking and everything.
Thanks for taking my call. God bless you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk
bless
soon.
You, John.
Bye-bye.